to those poor unfortunate souls.
Now, all you ghostly goblins out there in Radio World, this here is your old host, or should I say ghost of a host, Johnny Woodlock, here on the Double Trouble and Boil in Trouble, second edition of The Way Back with Johnny Woodlock's Haunted Hayride this year. With that mentioned, we're still coming to you via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios in Cornwall, Ontario. We can also be heard via our Haunted Hayride through CFRC 1019 FM from the limestone city of Kingston, Ontario, Canada. And we are also proudly carried over www.oshawarocks.com over the internet and spiderweb throughout the Durham County and Greater Toronto area. We can also be heard via our channel on YouTube at Way Back with Johnny Woodlock on YouTube as well. With that shared, I would like to once again share a double feature here this morning, this time by our birthday boy, who is celebrating his 88th birthday yesterday, the 1st of November. That, of course, is none other than the legendary whispering po' boy of country music, Bill Anderson. Now, Bill recorded two rather spooky type songs during his career, as well as recording, but also wrote many songs as well. With that mentioned, we're going to pay tribute to a song called Candy Apple Red, and then we'll follow with The First Mrs. Jones. With that, I would like to send these out to Bill today down there in Nashua, Tennessee, and just wish him a happy 88th birthday. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
He came speeding through the town each day at sundown, and his car was painted candy apple red. He was coming there to see the sheriff's daughter, and the sheriff didn't know it, so they said. Time and time again the sheriff tried to catch him, but he always speeded up and got away. That old county jail stood patiently awaiting, and the sheriff vowed he'd put him there someday. Well, there goes Candy Apple Red, that's what the people said. If he doesn't slow it down a bit, he's gonna end up dead. And the sheriff's daughter said she'd rather end up dead than to live without her Candy Apple Red. The sheriff built a barricade to catch him, and he sat there at the limits of the town. But the sheriff's daughter had already met him and had married him before the sun went down. When the sheriff saw them coming down the highway, he saw they couldn't stop and quickly caught his breath. As they crashed the barricade, the car exploded, and the boy and girl went to a flaming death. Well, there goes Candy Apple Red, that's what the people said. Didn't slow it down at all, and now he lies there dead. While the sheriff bowed his head, his daughter lay there dead, cradled in the arms of Candy Apple Red. Her real first name was Betty, but I'd rather just forget it, so I'll call her the First Mrs. Jones. We were married in September, and it lasted till November, when one day she just took off on her own. I followed her to Savannah, then Mobile, and then Atlanta. Every day I begged her, please come home. Pretty soon I started drinking, trying hard to keep from thinking just how much I loved the first Mrs. Jones. It was cold and dark one morning, just before the day was dawning, when I staggered from a tavern to a phone. When she picked up her receiver, I said, "You're gonna come back, or either they're gonna be calling you the late Mrs. Jones." I put a pistol in my jacket, stumbled out and hailed a taxi, told the taxi driver to take me to her home. I remember walking proudly, and everybody said that I yelled out loudly, "Come on out, or I'm gonna come in, Mrs. Jones." The next thing I recalled was walking through the forest, looking for a place to hide her bones. I dug and dug for hours, and then I planted flowers right on top of the first Mrs. Jones. Did my little story scare you? I can see, 'cause I'm so near you. Little beads of perspiration dot your clothes. Aren't you sorry now that you left me? Really now, don't you want to come go with me? After all, you are the second Mrs. Jones.
Well, now, friends,
it's once again that time in the program to pay tribute to the East Coast of Canada, which is very rich in folklore and mysterious songs of hauntings of the East Coast of Canada. First, we'll send out a song to John and Kathy up there in Guelph, Ontario, who I've been visiting with lately, and I just want to thank them for a wonderful vacation up there to Guelph. And for them, it's going to be a classic by the king of Canadian country music, Stompin' Tom Connors, and his all-time classic called The Moon Man Noofy. We'll then follow with a song going out to my good friends, Michael T. Wall and his wife, Miss Nancy. And just a reminder that Michael T. Wall is celebrating his 87th birthday today. So for Michael, it's going to be a Halloween-inspired song called The Monster Song. And then we'll wrap up this set with none other than Joan Morrissey, the true queen of the Newfoundland singers, and her all-time classic called The Mobile Goat. With that, welcome in, friends, and happy Halloween.
You might think it's goofy, but the man in the moon is a newfie, and he's sailing on to glory, away in the golden dory. He's sailing on to glory, away in the golden dory. Cutfish Dan from Newfoundland, he dreamt that he had three wishes, and he took Mars and all the stars, and he turned them into big fishes. He said the sky was much too dry, and he made a wavy motion, and the moon like a boat began to float upon the starry ocean. And you might think it's goofy, but the man in the moon is a newfie, and he's sailing on to glory, away in the golden dory. Sailing on to glory, away in the golden dory. One night he strayed to the Milky Way to cast his nets upon it. He spied the tail of a great big whale, and he harpooned Halley's Comet. He never had a pot for the fish that he caught, so he had to use the Big Dipper. And the sun, by Jove, was a very good stove for cooking up smelts and kippers. And you might think it's goofy, but the man in the moon is a newfie, and he's sailing on to glory, away in the golden dory. He's sailing on to glory, away in the golden dory. Now the northern lights that seem so bright, like nothing could be grander. Well, they're just waves of the moon boat made by the Newfoundland commander. And don't you sigh and say, oh my, what gross exaggerations, 'cause he'll tell you the dream was true when Codfish Dan awakens. And you might think it's goofy, but the man in the moon is a newfie, and he's sailing on to glory, away in the Golden Dory. He's sailing on to glory, away in the Golden Dory. You might think it's goofy, but the man in the moon is a newfie, and he's sailing on to glory, away in the Golden Dory. Sailing on to glory, away in the Golden Dory.
I lay sleeping the other night, snug in my cozy little bed. A great big monster came into my room with an eye in the middle of his head. I screamed and hollered, and I rolled over, pulled the covers up over my head. And when I looked in a little while, the great big monster was dead.
'Cause there ain't no monster at all.
I lay sleeping the other night, snug in my cozy little room. An ugly witch came in the window, flying on a rickety broom. I screamed and hollered and covered up my head, I wished that it was day. But when I looked out in a little while, the witch had flown away. Sleeping the other night, after I said a prayer, a ghost came into my little room and gave me a pretty good scare. I rolled over and covered off my head, began to holler and scream. But when I looked out, the ghost was gone, 'cause it was only a dream.
Southern shore, in the lovely Isle of Newfoundland, where goats don't roam no more. It's about a man named Dylan, whose cursing was of note, and how he was digging for spots one day when he spoke to the mobile goat. Now that goat had been stealing, digging spots for 20 years or more, and every time he saw him, Dylan cursed and raged and swore. He was digging hard, chewing away near a great big 6-foot granite rock. Well, Dylan heard him say, are you digging them, Dylan? Are you digging them deep? Are you piling them, Dylan, in a nice big heap? Oh, I'm digging them, says Dylan, not enough to fill a boat, but I'd be digging them more if it wasn't for you, you rotten, stinking goat. But I'd be digging them more wasn't for you, you rotten, stinking goat. Now Dylan got the fright of his life when he knew just what took place, and he said, good Lord, 'tis the devil himself come to snatch me from your grace, come to take me for my sacrilege and my rotten life of sin. And he ran like mad down the hill to home, and the goat just fits right in. But they say 'twas the
screech just passing by when he heard old Dylan curse on the goat and the spuds and the Lord above for making all things worse. Just to hush the roars at heaven's above, he thought he'd bid good day. And as he passed the garden fence, the good priest he did say, "Are you digging them, Dylan? Are you digging them deep? Are you piling them, Dylan, in a nice big heap?" "Oh, I'm digging them," says Dylan, "got enough to fill me both. But I'd be digging them more if it wasn't for you, you rotten stinking goat. I'd be digging them more if it wasn't for you, you rotten stinking goat." You could never tell Dylan, 'twas the priest who spoke, to stop his cursing spree, passing quietly behind that rock so Dylan couldn't see. And to this day in Mobile, on that grand old southern shore, there's a thousand who believe the goat spoke out when Dylan swore. Are you digging them, Dylan? Are you digging them deep? Are you piling them, Dylan, in a nice big heap? "Oh, I'm digging them," says Dylan, "got enough to fill me both. But I'd be digging them more if it wasn't for you, you rotten stinking goat. But I'd be digging them more if it wasn't for you, you rotten stinking goat."
Cruella de Vil, if she doesn't scare you, no evil thing will.
Hello, this is David Frankham, Hollywood actor, and the voice of Sergeant Tibbs in 101 Dalmatians. And you're listening to my good friend, Johnny Woodlock, on The Way Back.
The world was such a wholesome place until Cruella.
Now, all you ghostly goblins out there in radio world, this here is your old host with the most, or should I say ghost of a host, Johnny Woodlock, here on The Way Back Haunted Hayride, second edition. It's once again that time in the program to pay tribute to the high lonesome sounds of the bluegrass music of long ago. With that mentioned, I would like to send out a song to my good friend Sparky, also known as Sandra Day in Ingleside, Ontario. For her today will be a song by the man we remember as the voice with a heart, Mac Wiseman, and his all-time ghost favorite called Bringing Mary Home. We'll then follow with Jim and Jesse and their old-time haunted classic called The Grave in the Valley, and then we'll wrap up with another classic spooky and hauntingly gruesome song called Secret of the Waterfall, which was originally performed by the original Country Gentleman. With that, I'd like to welcome y'all in and say, here is some bluegrass legends of old. Welcome in, friends, and happy belated Halloween.
I was driving down a lonely road one dark and stormy night when a little girl by the roadside showed up in my headlights. I stopped and she got in back, and in a shaky tone she said, "My name is Mary, please, oh, won't you take me home?" She must have been so frightened, all alone there in the night. There was something strange about her, her face was deathly white. She sat so pale and silent in a back seat all alone. I never will forget the night I took her Mary home. I pulled into the driveway where she told me to go. Got out to help her from the car and opened up the door. I just could not believe my eyes, the back seat was bare. I looked all around the car, but Mary wasn't there. A light shone from the porch, a lady opened up the door. I asked about the little girl that I was looking for. In sadness she gently smiled and brushed a tear away. Out of your way. But 13 years ago tonight, in a wreck just down the road, our darling Mary lost her life, and oh, we miss her so. Oh, thank you for your trouble and the kindness you have shown. You're the 13th one that's been here bringing Mary home.
There's a grave in the bend on the valley where the shadows creep over so steel. There my darling is sleeping so peaceful in a grave at the foot of the hill.
On the nights when I'm lonely and thinking of my sweetheart who's now gone away, I go back to the place where she's sleeping. I'm just waiting to see her someday.
There's a grave in the bend of the valley where the shadows creep over so steel. There my darling is sleeping so peaceful in a grave at the foot of the hill.
God gave us a joy that we wished for, just a few days together to be. Then he carried her to heaven, bright portal. Therefore she will be waiting for me.
There's a grave in the bend of the valley where the shadows creep over so steel. There my darling is sleeping so peaceful in a grave at the foot of the hill.
Just once more with my darling by her side, though I know she is dead.
There's a grave in the bend of the valley where the shadows creep over so steel. There my darling is sleeping so peaceful in a grave at the foot of the hill.
Thank you. in the same age as I. She had lived next door to us since we were five. She knew I loved her dearly, I told her many times, and I looked forward to the day when she would be all mine. One more year of school, we thought, then wedding bells would ring. But the hand of fate has ways of changing everything. I walked upon the two of them down by the waterfall. Jennifer and Jimmy Jones, they saw me not at all.
Down by the waterfall, where the waters run so cool, there no secrets ever fall from the lips of a fool.
Was married and had a family, and I just couldn't understand why they did this to me. They both were scared, but all they thought I'd do was tell his wife. Their faces turned to mask of fear before I took their life. People thought that Jennifer just up and ran away. Jimmy Jones, who disappeared, a mystery today. Have passed, but vividly I still recall, and only I alone know what's behind the waterfall.
Down by the waterfall, where the waters run so cool, there no secrets ever fall from the lips of a fool.
When my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mess.
Hello, this is Sarah Karloff, daughter of Boris Karloff, and you've been listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock on the way back, Haunted Hayride, Happy Halloween.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
Now, friends, I would like to welcome a very special third and final guest onto the Way Back Haunted Hayride for this year. Now, when I first started doing these Haunted Hayrides in 2016, I had a very special guest who has become a true friend of mine and a true mentor in the paranormal. This man is keeping alive the folklore of fellow paranormal investigators like Ed and Lorraine Warren and different ones. And it brings me a great honor to welcome Mark Munson to our program today. The man behind the several best-selling books like Eerie Florida and his newest book, The Dark Side of the Smoky Mountains. With that, following this visit with Mark, we'll hear an all-time favorite Halloween-inspired song called The Swamp Witch. With that, I'd like to welcome to this side of the hour none other than author and historian Mark Munson of Eerie Florida fame. So we'll begin by saying Happy Halloween to you, Mark, and everyone at Eerie Travels.
Yes, greetings, travelers. It's good to be back, and happy spooky season to everybody.
So share with us some of the history about you and your paranormal.
Yeah, I am a child of the 70s and 80s. Grew up when, you know, Dungeons and Dragons and science fiction were of the devil, and you'd be burned at the stake for liking them, where I grew up in the buckle of the Bible Belt.
Yes.
But I found famous monsters of film land. I could sneak it occasionally, but my secret was in the library. They had the old books on In Search Of, and, you know, the and Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster and stuff like that.
Exactly.
So, oh my gosh. Fell in love with those, started digging into them, and I didn't even realize my whole life was surrounded by this stuff, because I grew up in backwoods of Appalachia, and we had a holler monster, this creature, this legendary beast that lived on our lands, that was had the head of a man, the body of a big cat and a wooden leg.
Oh, wow.
And it was called the bench leg.
Yes.
The bench leg of Goble Ridge. And it would jump from tree to tree. And if you were a bad person, it would womp you with its whoop stick, you know, which is his leg, and knock you off your horse.
Oh.
I grew up hearing that, thinking it was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard.
Yes.
And, you know, never believing anything like that. And then one late night, I saw something that looked an awful lot like that. So I realized everyone in my family had discussed this, you know, Bible thumpers and people who'd never lied about a thing in their life and all had a story about this thing. And so I started realizing, hey, some of these things could be out there. So that became a lifelong fascination. After that, I ran a haunted attraction for about 20 years and I worked folklore into it. Instead of having a werewolf jump out at you, I had the Florida skunk ape jump out at you. Instead of, you know, vampires and other things, we had local creatures and local legends come out. So
amazing.
I just collected stories and now I write about them.
And now 4 decades, that's almost, you've been doing this for almost 40 years.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah, started in my early days. I mean, I corresponded with Hans Holzer. He introduced me to Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Okay,
and all that.
Yes.
And that was back before they were all famous.
Of course. And before the Annabelle and all this stuff. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was just before they all popped. Yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
So I was just some dumb kid who they would invite over to their house. And my dad would drive me up to Connecticut and drop me off. And I'd hang out with this cute old couple. And they would tell me what they were going to investigate.
So share with us. During the past 40 years, what has changed? I know a lot of it has come into fact and stuff, but what has changed in the way we investigate?
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks to the advent of social media and then and more modern, you know, disclosure stuff. This stuff used to be the, oh, we don't talk about that because everybody's got this crazy Uncle Joe who saw Bigfoot in the 60s and, you know, and then Aunt Minnie who saw a UFO, and we just don't talk about it, right?
Exactly.
We just didn't mention it. With the advent of the internet, social media, people start realizing, hey, I'm not alone in this. There are others who see this stuff. There are others who've experienced this stuff. And then, you know, the boom in television with, you know, ghost hunters starting it all and all that, suddenly everybody's like, oh, everybody sees ghosts. It's not just us.
It's not just us,
and
exactly.
Now, they're entertainment. They're all entertainment. I mean, I did the Robert the Doll documentary, and they distorted that for Discovery Channel and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They distort what you say to make it more entertaining.
Yes, they do. But I find that.
It does.
Yeah.
They bring it forward, you know, and so people start willing to talk about it. Now, Crazy Uncle Joe, you find out, okay, 1968, road in Ohio, you punch it in, and suddenly in the BFRO database, there's 7 other sightings,
right.
You know, that same week. Crazy Uncle Joe ain't crazy no more. That's 100% what's happened, you know, and then ghosts are everywhere now, and, you know, the places found out, oh, there's money in ghosts. Places that used to say, oh, we don't have ghosts. Now they're like, oh, ghosts are here all the time. They're just in this one room. We had it locked off. Sorry. Send your money. Thank you.
And you had also said years ago when we first met that the investigations on the TV, they kind of all lure them around the evil spirits. They're not all evil.
No. I don't like to call things paranormal or supernatural.
Exactly.
There was a term that I think it became most famous when Shirley Jackson used it in Haunting of Hill House, which is preternatural.
Okay.
Stuff we don't understand yet.
Yes.
It's just a different type of energy. It's a different type of science that we just can't quite figure out because it was banned for so long, but now we're starting to realize, okay, maybe there's some truth to this. I mean, look at all the old folk remedies that are coming back and all that. This is where we're learning, okay, this stuff we should have been studying all along. And I think that's what ghosts and stuff like that is. There's positive and negative energy. There's positive and negative people. Ghosts and things like that. If you were a jerk in life, yeah, you're going to be a jerk in the afterlife. I also think that there's things like tulpas and egregores, which is where if enough people think about something, it suddenly kind of manifests. And I think that's what happens with some of these things is, oh, it's a demon. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. Suddenly there's enough negative energy there. Something bad's going to appear there.
Very true.
Something bad's going to happen.
It's almost like a brainwashing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you wrote your first books in the, I want to say the early 2000s or was it the 90s?
I wrote stuff way back in the late 80s is when I started when I was a teenager.
Oh,
Okay.
But then I became a dad and stopped writing for about 2 decades. Oh. But I was still researching, and I was running the haunted house then. But that's when I got back into writing around 2005, 2006.
Okay.
And then, Erie, Florida hit the big time in 2008. And then now, I've been on the bestseller kick every couple of years, which is nice.
For sure. So let's go back to the early books about Florida. There was, of course, The Legend of the Devil's Tree. Now, I've often been fascinated by that story, but is it still around? I know a lot of storms and things have gone through Florida.
That tree is still holding up.
Is it?
Yes. It's pretty spooky down there. It's this is one that's kind of dark. I'm not sure your listeners want to hear the real story, but the story is you go to that tree and black sap drips from it, and you can use that for your satanic rituals. That there's dark energy all around there, and if you take a piece of the tree and put it in somebody's car you don't like, they'll get in a car accident, and you can get away with the crime, stuff like that. They all come from a real history there. That there's a man with three names that hung out there, and if there's a man with three names in a newspaper in Florida, he's either a politician or B, a serial killer.
For
this
sure.
guy was the latter. He was Gerard John Schaefer, and he did terrible things to people at that tree, and that's why he's got the reputation that has. And that story's available in Freaky Florida, available in fine bookstores everywhere.
Sounds good, Mark. Yes, for sure. Now, looking into the newest book you have out on the Smoky Mountains, the Mako Light, I was wondering if you ever came across.
I did a lot of stuff with ghost lights in it. We talked mostly about the Brown Mountain Light,
yes,
which aren't really in the Smokies, but right adjacent. And then we talk about the Thomas Divide Overlook Lights, which are right here in the Smokies, right up on the Blue Ridge Parkway. And they are, ghost lights are a thing around here, and that light is one of them. And what's cool is it's right above one of my favorite stories. It's right above where the Boojum hangs out, which is one of my favorite characters.
Okay, share with us a little bit about that, if you would.
Oh, you're going to love this one because it ties into your stuff. The Boojum is basically a wild man, which was the old term for a Bigfoot.
Okay.
But he was a civilized one, and he used to trade with the Cherokee. And so they gave him a big neck pouch, medicine pouch, so that they wouldn't shoot him on sight, confusing him for a bear or maybe one of the more wild men. And then later, as the settlers move in and they start realizing, hey, this guy's okay, that we want to trade with him, they gave him a felt hat, like one of those old hillbilly hats.
Oh, yes.
And so they wouldn't shoot him. Now, he had kind of a grayish back, so he was like a silverback, but he still had hair all over. But he fell in love with a young girl who worked at one of the inns up there on one of the mounts.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people confuse it for the Balsam Inn on Mount Balsam because that one's still there, but this one is no longer around. It got burned down, but we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But her name was Annie, and she worked in this inn, and she was just a pretty thing. Everybody loved her, and of course, the Boojum loved her, so he wanted to woo her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, her dad, who ran the inn, said, no, I'm not having you marry this hairy, crazy thing unless he's, willing to bring you some money. Mm-hmm. He's thinking, this guy ain't gonna bring you no money. But he realizes the miners, this is a big gem mining area in this area. People don't realize it was one of the largest rubies in the world came from right here in the Smoky Mountains. So miners were here looking for gold, but they were finding all the gems, so they stuck around. So he realized that they would get these gems, and they would go into town, and they would buy these big jugs of stuff, and then they would drink it all. They'd have a good time, and then they'd pass out. And he's like, and they'd trade their gems for that. So he's like, well, if I go into town and grab those jugs, I can carry a bunch of them because I'm a big thing.
Yeah.
I can carry them up to the mine, save them the trip down the hill. They'll all get drunk, pass out, and I'll just put those gems in those jugs, and I'll just take them over to Annie. And that's what he did for a long time.
Yeah.
And apparently he earned enough to buy her hand, but there are two sides to this story at this point. One, they went away and lived happily ever after. Or two, the old man didn't like that his daughter was suddenly about to marry this thing, so he wound up killing him. Right. It's two versions. The main thing about this, though, is that Annie and the Boojum, they used to call to each other to know when it was safe.
Okay.
So she would come out and she would do this hoot, this howl, whoo, hoo. It's like a Bigfoot call now.
Yes.
They do that. They do the whoop sound to call Bigfoots and Bigfoot hunts. But because Annie was making these hoot sounds, supposedly this is where we get the term Hootin' Annie. So there you go.
Well, that's very
There's
fascinating.
There's a little Halloween story for you.
Exactly. Yes, for sure. And so I was just listening to the new podcast you've been doing for a couple years, and share with us about the Brown Mountain.
Oh, the Brown Mountain Lights?
Yes, yeah. That's it.
So
yes.
The podcast is Eerie Travels, available wherever you listen to your podcasts and yes. online. I do it with my co-host, Erica Lance. She's kind of new to the world of this stuff, where I've kind of been doing this for 40 years. So I get to introduce her to a lot of things that she doesn't know about. And, you know, and it's stuff I think everybody should know about, you know,
yes.
kind of like, hey, this is important history. This is important, you know, dark history that we've forgotten. And this, you know, knowing about ghosts and Bigfoot and folklore. So one of the folklore places is the ghost light. And these are lights that are seen. You stand out on a mountaintop and you look out across the way. And generally you're looking at undeveloped land. A Brown Mountain, notorious for this, because you've got one road and it's right here on top of the Brown Mountain Ridge. And you're looking out over several other mountains, and there's supposed to be nothing out there.
I see.
Yeah, you see these lights. And now some people studied that, oh, it's a train. Train went through there. Well, the lights were seen hundreds of years before there were trains. The Cherokee talked about them. And they said they were the spirits of women looking for their lost husbands, the lost warriors, because there was a great battle out there that they fought with the Moon-Eyed people, which is a lost race. Small, big-eyed people who the Cherokee claimed they chased into the ground and, you know, drove them into the caves.
Yes.
And they were called the Moon-Eyed people because they had such bright eyes that even a full moon would be too bright for them, and they had to hide. But that's supposedly one version of it. Another version of the lights, like the Thomas Divide Overlook lights, supposedly with them, the Cherokee again say they had, you know, during the whole Trail of Tears, they were being forced off their lands, and they had one great warrior refuse to be chased off, and he teamed up with a medicine man, and they were fighting good. They weren't going to be chased away. When they finally caught them, you know, the white man chopped them into pieces and sent his pieces to various villages as a warning. And supposedly the lights are him looking for his body parts. And now if you go out there and you park at dusk or a little after, it doesn't take long for the shows to start. You'll start seeing weird orbs that look like somebody walking with a flashlight or a lantern.
Yes.
But then sometimes they fly over the mountain, and then they split into two, and they change colors. They do all these things, and everybody's like, oh, it's drones. I'm like, drones haven't been around for 300 years.
Exactly. This is it, Mark. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Now, another one I'd like to ask you about is the hellhounds of the mountains.
Oh, yeah. That is kind of, you've got hellhounds and wampus cats.
Yes.
Those are two ubiquitous. They're almost as common as Bigfoot. They are seen all over the place. The hellhounds tend to have reddish or solid black appearance. They either have, you know, the red of the hell, you know, or they're just solid black but with red eyes and the classic red breath, you know, almost like a fire breath where smoke or steam comes from them. But they are seen usually crawling like a lion, where they're like, or a big cat, where they're kind of, that's why they kind of blend some of these stories. But I get, you know, on the podcast, we get a lot of people who email us their sightings and encounters of strange things they've seen. I would say hellhounds are up near the top. Definitely top 10, and definitely along the deeper Appalachians, like that corner of West Virginia, Virginia, and Kentucky. That seems to be their big hotspot.
I see. So there is one last question I'd like to ask about when speaking about the legends, but you have a picture of the Dolly Parton statue in your book from Sevierville, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
Share with us what happens there, so the legends say.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, Dolly got that statue. It's in her hometown of Sevierville. And, of course, Dolly is the queen of Tennessee, right?
She's of
their
course.
Favorite child. Her and Elvis are battling it out for who's the best. You
exactly.
know? And, you know, of course, she's done so much for the, you know, the world by hiring so many people at Dollywood and investing in all these failing things and then turning them around and making them successful businesses, as well as just being a beautiful person. She's just amazing. But the statue was dedicated to her a number of years ago, and what was so funny about it, it's this beautiful bronze statue of her, and it was always super clean. And we found out it was because her father used to drive down there every day and clean that statue in his pickup truck.
Yes.
Go down there late at night and clean the statue of bird poop and all that.
Exactly.
Of his daughter. And I love that. It's so, I would do that for my kids.
Yes, you know, we all would.
I hope they'd do that for me.
Yes.
We all would do that.
Exactly.
But, you know, he passed away a number of years ago. But that statue stays suspiciously clean, and some people say that there is someone out there cleaning their statue. Now, I'm not saying it's Dolly's dad's spirit, but like I said, sometimes these things, they take on an energy and a life of their own, and something happens over and over again. Maybe it still happens after we've gone. Or maybe there's just enough positive thinking people that keep Dolly's statue.
Maybe. It's the legends, exactly. Yes, for sure.
Who knows? Who knows? But it's spooky, but still sweet. Come on, that's
right, exactly. Yes, for sure. So share with us about your podcast and how our listeners can go about listening to your show.
Oh, yeah, we're Eerie Travels. We're usually on twice a week. Right now, during Mothman Spooky Seasons, we're only on once a week because we're kind of busy doing stuff. We're actually doing a book tour for the new Dark Side of the Smoky Mountain.
Nice.
Which you can get from your local bookstore or online, of course. But if you go to eerietravels.com, that shows all our appearances where we're traveling and signing, but also where you can get our books if you don't want to fight through stores and stuff. But that also links to wherever you can listen to us. We're on all the major ones, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music, you know, wherever you like to listen to yourself, and YouTube. Just Eerie Travels. You'll see us. It looks like two Bigfoots arguing. And that's wonderful art by my talented wife, Carrie Schultz, of course, who does all the art for our books and brings all these monsters and legends to life for us, including my favorite, the bench leg.
Yes, of course.
Got to come back home. Got to come back home.
That's right.
But yeah, and you can find us anywhere. We'd love to have you listen and you become a traveler with us.
Well, that sounds good, Mark.
And that's part of the fun.
For sure, for sure. And I guess the very last question for today, and I'd love to have you back on, as you know. Share with us how Halloween will be spent this year by you and your family.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, like I said, that's kind of a busy season for us. So we have to hit a lot of events where, you know, we get invited to a lot of haunted houses to do signings and stuff. But Halloween night, we always save that one for us. In the town I'm in, Franklin, North Carolina, there's a witch walk that they do where they have all the ladies dress up in witch hats and walk around. Right. There's a big street called Bidwell Street that has a bunch of haunted houses. The whole town gets together for that. But then my kids who come up to visit from Florida, we tend to break from town for a little bit, drive down to Atlanta, which isn't too far from us, and we do the best haunted house in the world, which is called Netherworld.
Okay.
That's it's like the Disney World of haunted houses. If you're ever near Stone Mountain, Georgia in September, October, November, you gotta go.
For sure.
And that's our favorite. Basically our trick or treat for us.
Well,
and we'll end
great.
The night watching some old classic horror movie of some sort on there.
For sure. And I'm glad to see you also coming back more out of the Sunshine State, but also into the different areas of America. We're hoping to see you up to
finally,
the Ottawa Valley and that sort of thing sometime.
We're definitely on the agenda. We're working our way north, as you can tell.
So, yes.
The Appalachians go all the way up to Quebec.
That's right. So yes, we can see the Appalachians from, or however you say that, but we can see it from our town here in Cornwall, Ontario. Yes,
well,
for sure.
Well, it is south, it's Appalachia.
Okay.
Because they'll throw an Appalachia if you say it wrong.
Yes.
But if you're above the Mason-Dixon line, it's Appalachia.
Okay.
So, you know, just tomato, tomato, right?
Exactly. I hear you. Well, with that, Mark, it's been a pleasure, and let's stay in touch.
Oh yeah, of course, and play something spooky for me when we head out. Oh, you know, I always love my Swamp Witch song from Florida. Oh, it's a classic. And play it for me. Jim Stafford Swamp Witch, always a classic. I'll see you on the other side.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Blackwater Hattie lived back in the swamp where strange green reptiles crawl. Snakes hang thick from the cypress trees like sausage on a smokehouse wall. Where the swamp is alive with a thousand eyes and all of them watching you. Stay off the track of Hattie Shack in the back of the Black Bayou. Way up the road from Hattie's shack lies a sleepy little Okeechobee town. Talk a swamp witch, Hattie, lock you in when the sun go down. Rumors of what she done, rumors of what she do. Kept folks off a track of Hattie's shack in the back of the Black Bayou. One day brought the rain stayed on and the swamp water overflowed. Skeeters and the fever grabbed the town like a fist. Doc Jackson was the first to go. Some said the plague was brought by Hattie. There was talk of a hanging too. But the talk got shackled by the howls and the cackles from the bowels of the Black Bayou. Early one morn, between dark and dawn, when shadows fill the sky, there came an unseen caller on a town where hope run dry. In the square there was found a big black round vat full of gurgling brew. Whispering sounds as the folks gathered round, it came from the Black Bayou. Ain't much pride when you're trapped inside a slowly sinking ship. Scooped up the liquid deep and green, and the whole town took a sip. Fever went away, and the very next day the skies again were blue. Let's thank old Hattie for saving our town. We'll fetch it from the Black Bayou. Party of 10 of the town's best men headed for Hattie's shack. Said swamp witch magic was useful and good, and they're gonna bring Hattie back. Never found Hattie, and they never found the shack, and they never made a trip back in. A parchment note they found tacked to a stump said, "Don't come looking again."
Now, friends, before we say so long from the Way Back Haunted Hayride for this year, I'd like to once again pay tribute to a Way Back Song of the Week. And this Way Back Song of the Week is a very interesting song by none other than the man who brought us Grandpa Amos McCoy in the all-time classic, The Real McCoy Series, out of the 1950s. That, of course, is none other than our late hero, Walter Brennan. With that mentioned, he's got a song called The Last Will and Testament of Sam Burke. We will send us all home following this on the other side of this song. So with that, here now is a true Halloween type song called The Last Will and Testament of Old Sam Burke.
I've lived right here, and only one man come by. Now you've all come, all but one, with your tears and your phony cries. And when Christmas come around, it was all the same. You forgot about old Sam. But the man with the book and the gentle look, he took the time to come around. I do remember one, his name is Birch, he runs the church, and I'll leave him my land and money. Now ain't that a shame? That's the reason you came, like a fly drawn to honey. Well, I thank you for coming. I guess you'll be running. Sure hope you don't feel too hurt. In fact, I'm guessing you've learned a lesson. Yours truly, old Sam Burke.
Well, now, friends, it's once again that time to say so long from the way back with Haunted Hayride here this morning and for this year. With that mentioned, we will be back following this week with our regular programming. But for now, as we play us home today on this final Way Back Haunted Hayride for 2025, we will play an all-time classic by Charlie and Ira Leuven from 1959 and their all-time famed classic called Satan is Real. Now, just a reminder that after this weekend, going up into the new year, we'll be playing more and more Yuletide music and favorites of the past, but we will be doing it in a more regular format of the program. With that mention, I would like to wish everybody a very happy, belated, happy Halloween weekend here today. And let's play us all home with this all-time classic, a Charlie and Iris once again, and Satan is Real. With that mention, may y'all have a blessed week, and we'll catch y'all next weekend. Same great time, same great place over this CFRC 101.9 FM and also www.oshawarocks.com. So long for now, friends, and happy belated Halloween. Oh!
Satan is real, working in spirit. You can see him and hear him in this world every day. Tempt you and lead you astray.
I attended service at a little church in the country not long ago. A prayer was led by an old country preacher who then raised his hands as everyone stood and sang, "My God is real." A warm breeze through the open windows brought in the smell of new-mown hay in a nearby field. And the singing of birds could be heard in the moment of silence as the preacher opened his Bible to read. And then a little old man stood up, bent with age, his hair thin and white, and said, "Preacher, tell them that Satan is real too. You can hear him in songs that give praise to idols and sinful things of this world. You can see him in the destruction of homes torn apart. I know that Satan is real, for once I had a happy home. I was loved and respected by my family. I was looked upon as a leader in my community. And then Satan came into my life. I grew selfish and unneighborly. My friends turned against me. And finally, my home was broken apart. My children took their paths into a world of sin. Yes, preacher, it's sweet to know that God is real and to know that in him all things are possible. And we know that heaven is a real place where joys shall never end. But sinner friend, if you're here today, Satan is real too. And hell is a real place, a place of everlasting punishment.
Satan is real, working in spirit. You can see him and hear him in this world every day. Satan
I've got the plans for next Halloween. I need to go over them with you so we can get started.
Another show is over. Another day gone by. With good friends all around me. How the time did fly.
Howdy, friends and listeners. This here is your old host with most, Johnny Woodlock. Reporting for Way Back with Johnny over this great channel. The previous show does not represent anything associated with the channel heard on. It is a sole associate of Woodlock Ranch Studios, Cornwall, Ontario. With that, have a great day, and we'll catch y'all next week. So long, friends.
It's hard to find the words I want to say, but friends, I'll try. God bless you all and keep you till we meet again. Goodbye.